Hey, coming up on your favorite podcast, the PGA Preview Pod is back yet again, another week. More PGA golf to talk about. Some stuff that happened over at Saudi Arabia. Dustin Johnson got a win. Brooks Koepka got a win. We saw the return of Jordan Spieth. So much good stuff to talk about in the world of golf. Also, the USGA and the RNA talking a little bit more about some of that equipment change stuff that they brought up early in the week. We might delve a little bit further into that. And then set our sights on to the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which features no amateurs this week. Thank God for that. We'll talk about that, talk about the field, and maybe preview a winner this week by looking at my picks, which, by the way, were a total disaster last week. And we'll go from there. Remember, this podcast brought to you by TyShrupp.com, insurance agent to the stars and you. TyShrupp.com, all your insurance needs. As far as your life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, pet insurance, you name it, he's got it. State Farm agent Ty Shrupp, tyshrupp.com. So check it out there. Podcast coming up right now. Hey, what is happening, everybody? It's the Tim Anderson Podcast. It is the PGA Preview Pod. This pod comes at you weekly right around Tuesday. Getting set for this week's PGA action, both either in Europe or at home. We'll talk LPGA when they actually have a tournament, which is, I think, 2 weeks away, which actually has some news to it. We might actually talk about that before the pod's out today. And, of course, the Senior Tour. Those guys are still, I think, a couple weeks away from their next tournament. So it's just the PGA right now, and they make their move to Pebble Beach, which we will talk about here shortly, give you my picks. It's going to be a kind of a weak field this year. The field's not super strong for this year's Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and I think there's a number of variables that go into that. We'll talk about that as we go forward today. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last week, though, at TPC Scottsdale, the Waste Management Phoenix Open in the rearview mirror. And, you know, I got to tell you, visually, I really love this golf course. Like, I love TPC Scottsdale as far as, like, you take some of the fans out. Now, I don't love the monstrosity structure at 16. I know that's their big thing now. That's what they're known for is this Coliseum 16th. But I think they could do without it, and it'd be fine. The golf course stands up. I mean, they put some teeth into it on Sunday, clearly, because that they look like they were going to just cut that place up. Spieth and Schauffele were 18 under par heading into Sunday. And you would have thought the winner was going to come out of that 22, 23, 24 under par. And it didn't happen. You know, it was Koepka at 19 under par. He ends up winning the tournament. Spieth and Schauffele fade on Sunday. We'll get into that, I think, as we go. But first, the golf course itself, I thought, really played interesting on Sunday. I like that it played a little harder. I mean, you could still score. It was still gettable. But I like the fact that the water was in play. It seemed like the pressure of a Sunday kind of tightened up some guys, and give credit to Koepka. I thought he played just out of his mind. I thought he was really, really good, especially on the par fives on the back nine. I thought the shot he hit into 15 was incredible. Obviously, the chip in at 17 was awesome for eagle, and that's basically what won him the tournament. It was going to come down to a big play, a big shot, a big putt, something that was going to swing the momentum. And the fact that he was able to make eagle at 17 on that chip-in, I mean, he was probably going to make birdie anyway, but the chip itself is not that easy. And I think he plays a playoff if he only makes birdie there. The fact that he's able to make eagle there, I think, is a big deal, right? So he chipped it in a really tough spot. That was not easy because that was going to catch the slope and go down the ridge, and speed had to be absolutely perfect, and he hit just an absolutely sublime chip shot. It was just phenomenal to watch. Beautiful, beautiful stuff from Brooks Koepka. And it's good to see him back because he does add a layer of intrigue when he's playing really well, because he's just different than the other guys as far as their preparation. You know, he's not a big track man guy. He doesn't have a coach right now. He got rid of Claude Harmon. You know, he works with Butch Harmon a little bit, but him and Claude Harmon don't work together really anymore. He's getting back to some basic stuff, but he's interesting because I watched him at the 3M Open hit balls in the driving range a couple years ago, and he's not a guy that shows up and has a bunch of gadgets. You're not going to see him like Justin Rose with the freaking medicine ball between his arms swinging, you know, with all these stupid gadgets and tools and things like that. He shows up, he throws an alignment stick down and just starts wailing away. You know, hits three irons and four irons and two irons, and he warms up just swinging as hard as he can and as far as he can. And that's just what he does. He's not a TrackMan guy. He doesn't need all the numbers. He kind of plays by feel. He's actually a pretty good putter. For as good a driver as he is, he's a pretty good short game player. He makes big putts, and he's also just not afraid. That was the thing that really stuck out to me on Sunday, is just how fearless he is in comparison to the guys that he was going against. I think Schauffele, I think, has a little bit of that, has a little bit of fear in him on Sundays about closing the deal. And Koepka's just not afraid of closing the deal. And that's what was cool to watch. Like, he's just a, he's just a killer. He's got a total instinct to him that he's not afraid. Like, he just doesn't cower in big moments. He rises to those occasions. And I think that's what makes him super fun to watch. And also, the kind of golf he does play is very, it's a power game, no question about it, but it's a controlled power game. He hits this little cut off the tee, and he pretty much counts on that. Like, he doesn't steer it left very often. Last year he did when he was injured, because I think he didn't trust his knee and his hip, but I think if he's healthy and he's hitting that little cut off the tee, forget about it. I mean, he's in the fairway or in the first cut all the time, and he's not swinging it around the trees very often, and he's not having to lay up. I mean, he was, what was he, into 15, what was he, driver 8 iron into 15, the par 5? I mean, he was 231 out. I think he hit a 7 iron in. I mean, it's a different game. It's incredible to watch, and I was just super impressed with Koepka. I thought he played just a phenomenal game of golf, and he does have skill around the greens. Like, he's got the ability to chip and putt and all that stuff, and that's what you really like to watch. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I was disappointed, though, because I was really hoping to get another great Spieth round. But Spieth, he is everything I love about golf. Like, I got to tell you, I love Tiger, and Tiger is must-see TV. But Spieth, to me, when he's in it, is must-see TV. I sat there and watched every shot on Sunday. I'm glad that it ended right in front of the Super Bowl so I could turn it over, because I wasn't leaving golf for Eric Church singing the national anthem with, I can't remember her name now, but it was a lovely national anthem. But I'm not leaving for that when Spieth's in contention, and if that would have stayed there, I would have hung with it the whole day. And I was there the whole day. And Spieth he's such a fun player to watch, because you just look at him and the whole is just not greater than the sum of the parts. Or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, I should say. Because his driver, his tee game, his tee to green, he was dead last in the field. Dead last from off the tee. He sprays it everywhere. I mean, he cannot keep the ball in the fairway consistently. And yet, here he is, fishing his way out from behind the trees, hitting little cuts and fades and little things with the wedges, and getting himself on the green with a chance to make putts. And he left about 5-6 putts in the heart, maybe a foot and a half short sometimes, because he couldn't get the speed of the greens figured out. But Jordan Spieth is just, he's just a ball of nerves. He's touching the towel. He's constantly, you know, he's walking around. He's moving. He's just everything that we are when we play golf. Like, when I go out and play, I'm a ball of nerves too. I hate waiting, right? And I'm constantly thinking about, where do I leave this? Where's the miss? Where do I go? You know, what's the right shot here? What's the right club? Can I trust that I can get a 7 iron there? Does it have to be a 6? I mean, that's Spieth, and he is like, just, he wants to win so bad. Like, second place to Spieth doesn't matter. And I just love that about him. I mean, he's got a Hall of Fame career already, and he's 27 years old, and people are talking about him like he's Tiger, and he's 45, and that he's ready for the Champions Tour. It's like, this guy's got 23 more years left on tour. He's not done. He's going to figure this out. He's going to play good golf again. Mark my words, it's going to happen, and I'm hoping that this Sunday was the beginning of that, because even without his best stuff, Saturday, was so much fun. He shot 61 or 62, and it was just so cool to watch him figure it out. He just made putt after putt after putt. He found a couple. If he could get that little fade off the tee going, which he kind of did on Friday. I got to tell you, when I watched him play on Friday, he was hitting this little cut into the green. He was hitting these little cuts off the tee with the driver, and he was fine on the fairway with him. And I'm just like, God, if he could just go to that off the tee. And that just became the fairway finder. And he could occasionally unhinge a draw. Then it'd be great. But like at 17, for example, when he hits it in the water at 17, and now granted, he's pressing because he has to try to make birdie. But if he could literally just peel a cut off the tee and count on it, he'd open up the whole right side of the golf course. He'd give himself a chance to get up and down, make birdie for sure. Or he might even be able to get it to the front of the green and have a chance at a long eagle putt. But instead, he's got to step on the gas, try to hit a draw, and try to control that draw. And there's just no way he's going to stop a slinging hook draw on that green. There's just no way he's going to do it. That's why all these guys on tour hit fades. I was saying, I hit a draw because I can't, or at least I try to hit a draw. I try to hit a draw because I don't have distance. But if I had distance, if I had DJ's distance or Brooks Koepka's distance or even Jordan Spieth's distance, I'd hit a cut all day. Because I feel like you can control that. And if Spieth can get that dialed in as a go-to shot, then I think he's got it. Because it's really off the tee. I still think when he's got a chance to be in the fairway, he's a good iron player and a good wedge player and a great putter. He just needs to be in play off the tee. But just the foul balls are just killer. So it was fun to see him in the mix. The 61 or 62 that he shot on Saturday just had me just so jazzed. 61 is what he shot. I was so jazzed. I was so excited. I was at my speech tournament and youth basketball games I was coaching, and I look down on my phone and I see Spieth's 5-6 under par and 7 under par, 8 under par, and I'm just super excited. I went home, I watched the replay, because when Jordan plays well, it moves me to want to watch more golf. It really does. And nobody else on tour does that for me besides Tiger, maybe Phil. It's Spieth. Spieth's the only guy. We need more Spieth. He's a star. I need more of him. Koepka was great. I'm just glad it wasn't James Hahn. I thought that would have stunk up the show. That's not great. Schauffele, I'm not concerned. I know some of the other guys that I've been listening to are a little concerned that Schauffele maybe isn't a closer. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I think we're getting closer to at least starting to wonder what's going on there, because this thing was tailor-made for him on Sunday. All he had to do was go out, shoot 2-3 under par, he wins the golf tournament. Go shoot 68 on a par 71 where you have three par fives that are reachable, and you have a par 4 17th that's reachable, and he should be able to shoot. A guy of Xander's skill set should be able to shoot 68 there in his sleep. He should have been able to win that tournament. And 69 would have got it done. 2 under par wins the tournament for him if he would have just shot it. But instead he shoots, even par or one over. And, I mean, it's disappointing. It's disappointing for a guy who has Xander's skill set. And, people are looking around. This is what drives me crazy about the narratives, because they're talking about Spieth like he's done. Xander and him are the same age. And Spieth, with, I think, less talent, has a way better resume than Xander Schauffele. It's not even close. It's not close. 3 majors, 11 wins. Xander Schauffele's got 3 wins. No majors. And a lot of runner-ups. Man, give me Jordan Spieth at 27 than Xander Schauffele. Now, are you going to buy Xander stock more going forward? Maybe. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm big. I'm bullish on Spieth after what I saw on Sunday or this weekend. I'm ready to buy Spieth this year. I think Spieth's ready to have another run here. We have not heard the last from him this season. I think he will make more gains. He will get back in the mix, and we will see him win. Maybe not this year, but I think he will be in the mix, and he will have another chance before the year is out. I mark my words on that. Might even be this week. Never know. Talk a little bit. DJ wins in Saudi Arabia. I kind of hate what this tournament is doing to Phoenix and to Pebble. The I think too many guys, like for Phil to not play in Phoenix, where the fans and the people of Phoenix, like they had 5,000 fans there, who no doubt would have been all over Phil. They would have been cheering for Phil. They would have loved watching him. For Phil to take the money, the appearance fee in Saudi Arabia, and go there. Now, I get it, but I mean, how much money does Phil need? Especially Saudi money. Like, I don't know. But for guys like him to take the money in Saudi Arabia and not go to Phoenix and not go to Pebble Beach. Well, Phil's going to Pebble. But to not go to Phoenix, I think, is bad. For Tony Finau, who I think would have been a big favorite in Phoenix, for him to not go to Phoenix and not play Pebble, I don't think that's a great look. And Dustin Johnson to win in Saudi and to pull out and withdraw from Pebble, so he, the number one player in the world and the best player on the PGA Tour, doesn't play Waste Management, doesn't play Pebble Beach. I don't think that's a great look for the tour. I don't. And especially when it's for Saudi Arabia and there's some real questionable stuff going on there as far as just some of the political stuff that goes into it. I know Paul Casey made a total fool out of himself at a press conference this week. Look, you can do what you want. You can do what you want when you make that much money. Like, you can go and you can play where you want to play and take the money. I don't have a problem. I mean, whatever, man. Make your money. But don't stand there, though, in the same vein and say that you are all about these charities and that you are all about human rights and you're all about this, that, or the other thing. Oh, but by the way, I'm going to take $1 million of the king's money. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, right? It just doesn't ring true. It doesn't ring true. Just admit it. I just want to hear a pro. I want to hear Phil. I want to hear DJ. I want to hear all these guys admit, yeah, I'm going because the money's really good. Just say it. Just say it. I can respect that. But don't say, oh, you know, Saudi, it's Saudi Arabia, it's beautiful, we're playing by the Red Sea, blah, 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 it's a lovely thing, Europe, blah, nah, pass, pass. I'm not hearing it. Not having it. Just say it. Just say, I'm getting $1 million from Saudi Arabia to come play here. Or I'm getting $250,000 from the prince in Saudi Arabia to come play here. Okay, fine. I'll listen to that. I'll get it, man. If you're Kevin Na, yeah, maybe you want another $250,000. I get it. Okay, but say it. Just say it. I think it does hurt the product on tour. It hurts the product. It hurts Pebble Beach. Like, if you look at the field now with DJ out, the favorite is Cantlay by a mile, and that's it. You know, he's the favorite by a long shot now. That field at Pebble is not that strong, and it's probably the weakest I've ever seen it. And it's Pebble Beach. That should be a signature event, especially this year. Especially this year with no celebrities. The rounds aren't going to take nearly as long. Thank Christ. I would think they would have ran to Pebble Beach to go play there in Spyglass. And the fact that they're not going to I don't think that looks good for the tour. I just think that's not a good look. Just my thought on that one. But good for Dustin. He wins. He continues to be dominant. He continues to be the number one player in the world for a reason. He is just so locked in right now. And if he gets on these courses where he can just hit fades all day and the trees aren't a problem and there really weren't any trees at this golf course. It was a pretty golf course, I will say that. But courses like that, man, DJ, why wouldn't DJ be a favorite? Like, when we go to Kiowa for the PGA, why wouldn't DJ be a favorite? Like, why wouldn't you think he could dominate that golf course? He's got to be a top 2-3 pick at Kiowa this year. It's a perfect course for him. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this week's event. It is the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. They call it the No-Am because no amateurs will be there this year. They're only going to play on Spyglass and Pebble Beach. They're not going to use the Monterey Peninsula course. They are just going to play those two. It is just a 36-hole cut. Normally, it's a 54-hole cut. I'm hopeful that we will not see an appearance from Clint Eastwood this year. I'm going to root hard for that because there is no television. The television for this tournament, this is one tournament I don't watch, I must admit, because I can't do it. I can't watch them drag Clint Eastwood's corpse up there for 3 hours with Jim and Nick Faldo in the booth. I can't have Bill Murray. I can't stand Bill Murray doing the Caddyshack thing and doing the throwing the clubs around thing and playing to the. I can't do it. I can't do it. I hate it. I hate this tournament for that reason, and I want that to go away. I don't know who thinks that that's great for the game of golf. Like, I don't know who sits there and goes, you know what I'm going to do this afternoon? I'm going to watch Bill Murray hack it around Pebble Beach for 3 hours. And then I'm going to listen to 97-year-old Clint Eastwood come up and spill gibberish about Carmel by the Sea, California. Nobody cares. Show me the golf. Just show me the golf. I don't care that Larry the Cable Guy in his sleeveless camo can hit like a 7-iron occasionally onto the green. Don't care. So I'm very grateful that it's just golf this week. And I'm hopeful that it stays that way. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. But it's an interesting game, interesting field. The field, like I said, is kind of weak. It's not the traditional field for this event. Let me walk you through kind of the big names that are in this field so that you can kind of see what you're getting yourself into if you're going to go do your daily fantasy or if you are in a place where you can actually bet on stuff for real. Like, I don't because I live in Minnesota and it's a nanny state here. But if you lived anywhere else in the free world and you could really go out and do some stuff with your life, I encourage you to go ahead and maybe take a look at what we have in this field. Let me walk you through it. So, DJ's out, as we mentioned. So here's kind of the top guys. Cantlay, Berger, Paul Casey, Will Zalatoris, who's really red hot right now. He's playing really well. Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, Francesco Molinari, Sewoo Kim. Those are your top guys. Rick Fowler's in the tournament. Phil's in the tournament. But Ricky couldn't be less on form than he is. I mean, he played awful at Phoenix over the weekend. Phil, I mean, I think Phil will do okay, but Phil's hit or miss to make the cut. Max Homa's played pretty well lately, but you can see just not a lot of nothing that grabs you here, right? No Rahms, no Rorys, obviously no Tigers, no Brooks Koepka, and obviously no DJ. I mean, those are some big name guys that are just not in the field this week. So it really opens the door for those top guys like guys. Cantlay, who I think is on fire, I think if he's on his game, we'll walk. He'll probably win this by 5 strokes if he's on his game this week. So let's talk. What's in the FanDuel lineup this week? I'll walk you through it. Here we go. Let me get that up for you so that you can watch it. I know you're excited. Here we go. My entries this week, again, $50,000 cap, playing it on Daily Fantasy. I took Will Zalatoris. First pick, $9,900 of mythical cash on Will Zalatoris. I think he's playing really well. He's a young player. He was really good in college. He's just now starting to find his way on the PGA Tour, and I think he's going to be a pretty good player. I don't know to the degree. Is he going to be Will Gordon? Is he going to be Doc Redman? Or is he going to be John Rahm? I don't know. That's hard to predict at this point, but I like Will Zalatoris right now. He has made 23 of 24 cuts. This year, between the Korn Ferry and the PGA from last year, he's done pretty darn well for himself. He is he's really played well, and lately been really good, a top 10 guy like every week. So Zalatoris is my guy there. I'm going to play the heater, and I'm going to take Jordan Spieth again. I didn't take him last week. I'm going to take him this week. I'm hopeful that there's something there. Like he's got a little mojo here. He's won here. I know there's more trees. And there's more trouble, and if he can't keep it on the planet off the tee, he's not going to make the cut here. But my hope is he can just kind of find it, get himself to the weekend, just like he did last weekend, and see if he can't be there at the end. So give me Jordan Spieth on the heater. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take Phil Mickelson as well, another guy who has good vibes here, who seems like he can just summon a good experience at this golf course. He plays really well here. He likes this tournament. He likes Spyglass. He likes Pebble Beach. I think Phil can make the cut here and be a factor. But Phil struggled to make cuts this year, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to take Phil. Harold Varner III. I just He doesn't have the top 10s yet, but I feel like he's due. He's making cuts. He's making cuts. I think he needs to... He's due for a top 10. We're due for a little Harold Varner III action, and I think we're going to get it this week. Chez Reavie. This is a great golf course for Chez. It's not long. He's a good putter, and he's a good ball striker, and he's not going to be at a real significant distance disadvantage. He's going to be able to flight in some, you know, he's going to make every par five. He's going to be able to hit that. He's also going to be able to flight different shots in there and hit some different irons, some low irons in. Phil's going to have wedges and stuff, but he's going to have 9-iron, 8-iron into most of these greens. I think he's going to be fine. I like Chez Reavie this week. I think he kind of gets off the schneid and gets it rolling. And then my long shot this week is Christopher Ventura, Oklahoma State guy. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour last year a couple of times. He's been on tour now, 8 of 14 cuts. I think he's due. I think he's going to play well. I think he played better in the fall than he has earlier this season. But I think he's ready to go. I really liked Ventura in college. He played with Hovland. He played with Matt Wolf, I think, at Oklahoma State and all those guys. So Ventura's kind of the unknown commodity out of that group. Certainly not the most talented guy of that group when you think of Hovland and you think of Wolf. But I like Ventura a lot. I think he's going to play well this week. So I'm going to go Zalatoris, Spieth, Mickelson, Varner, Reavie, and Ventura this week as my picks to click for Pebble Beach. Hopefully that works out. We will see how that goes. Hey, a little heads up, the news coming out today. Annika Sorenstam is going to come out of retirement. She has not played a tour event in 13 years, but I think she's going to play next week at the Lake Nona event and the LPGA Tour. Fantastic for the ladies' tour to have Annika play. I think that's great. And if Annika can play a couple times a year, I think it does a lot for the tour. She's 45, I think, so she's not old by any means. And she's going to go play I think she's setting herself up to play the U.S. Senior Women's Open. But she might play a couple, 3-4 times on the LPGA Tour this year, and I'm all for it. I am here for Annika Sorenstam playing on the tour. I would not be surprised if she played well. I would not be surprised. I don't believe, like, Inbee Park is a classic example of you don't need to have length on the LPGA. I love watching LPGA golf because I love the contrast of styles. You still have to hit shots on that tour. Yeah, you got bomb and gougers like Lexi Thompson and Arya Jutanagarn, but you also have artistry like Inbee Park and Lydia Ko, and Annika is an artist, and if she comes in and plays well, Lake Nona's, of course, she knows really well. A lot of those PGA and LPGA folks live off Lake Nona. They know that golf course, back of their hand. This is a very comfy place for her to go play. So I think she will be there, and I wouldn't be surprised if she plays half decent. Now, it's been 13 years. I'm not predicting her to win or anything, but I think it's great for the tour, and I think it's going to do really, really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing Annika Sorenstam next week or in 2 weeks at the LPGA Tour event at Lake Nona. I'll be watching that very closely when it comes on. So that'll be great. That's it for the PGA Preview Pod. My pick to win, I'm going to take Patrick Cantlay to win. I think you're silly not to. Cantlay played so well in his last start. I would not be surprised to see him just go on a tear here this week. And Pebble sets up nice for him. Again, California guy. I think it's a really comfy place for him. Would not be surprised if he makes a big run at this event and wins it. So give me Patrick Cantlay to win it. And we'll see how that one shakes out. We'll be back here next week to talk all about it on the PGA Preview Pod. Just a heads up on what's coming. Super Bowl breakdown and off-season preview with the guys tomorrow night. We'll record it Wednesday. We'll drop it Wednesday night. It'll be our last kind of NFL pod as far as in-season. Ryan and Zach will be here through the off-season. We're going to keep doing football pods, but we're going to do more season breakdowns and draft stuff and doing things like that for football. So if you like our football pod, we're going to keep bringing you football content. Zach's going to come in and we're going to do some baseball stuff real soon as the season gets close to kicking off with spring training here real soon, talking about some of the big acquisitions that were made, some of the big signings, and get ourselves ready for what will be hopefully a full and healthy baseball season. Hopefully we're turning the corner in this country and we can get back to doing some things that we like doing, like, I don't know, watching baseball and playing golf with the flag stick out occasionally. A lot of good stuff happening in the world. We just got to hang in there and keep rooting for that. And also, the movie podcast, I promise you it's coming. I've been promising it for 2 weeks, but I promise you it is coming. It will be here. Lauren and I are looking forward to knocking that pod out and sharing that with you as well. So that's it for the PGA Preview Pod this week and the Tim Anderson Podcast. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you listening everywhere that you do, and continue to share it out. Send us some feedback occasionally. We would appreciate it. For that, keep your head up. We'll see you next time.